Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Pesachim Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Pei Aleph. Before we begin the shiur, let us take note of the Nosei, the topic heading that you see in the margin, where we've written under the Nosei, Tumas HaTahom, Im Hutra Lekayin HaMakriv Es HaTomid. Tumas HaTahom is a topic that we've been discussing recently. It involves a person who is going to do his Korban Pesach, or a Nazir who is going to makriv his Korbanos, and at the prior to the time that he offered his sacrifice, he had encountered what we can refer to as unknown Tuma. Tuma Satom is Tuma of the Depths, and we described this in our previous shiur, whereby a person had walked over what in effect turned out to be a grave, underneath the ground that he walked, there had been a body that was buried, and no one could have known about it at the time the person walked over that spot. Later on, before the sacrifice was offered, it was then discovered that he had encountered this type of tuma. Again, Tumas HaTahom is specifically in the realm of Tumas Meis, to the exclusion of other areas of Tuma. And it's a Tuma that no one could have known about it at the point of encounter with the Tuma. Only later on was it discovered, and we will see in our Gemara that based on a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, a person is considered unaffected by this type of Tuma situation. Much more will be seen about this as we go on in today's Gemara. Boy, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef raises a question. The question itself is a long question, and it comes on the heels of what we were discussing in our previous shiur. And here, instead of talking about the Korban Pesach, or the Nazir, and his Korbanos, we're going to talk about the Kohen who is offering the daily Tomid sacrifice. The daily sacrifice offered in the morning and in the afternoon in the Beis HaMikdash. The Tomid Shel Shachar, Tomid Shel Bein Arabayim. And Rav Yosef asks, Kohen Hamratze B'Tomid. Kohen who is processing the daily public sacrifice. Hutra Lo Tumas HaTahom Oiloi. Is the problem of Tumas HaTahom overlooked with regard to the Kohen who is processing the Korban Tomid or not? In Tim Saloma Koyin Hamaratze Bekorbanosehem Hutra Loi Tumas HaTahom, if you take the position like that which we saw on Daf Pei Omid Beis, where Rava tried to conclude this point that Tumas HaTahom is overlooked not only for the owner of the Korban Pesach or the Nazir Ho'ise Es Korbanosav, but it applies also to the Kohen who is processing it. So Rav Yosef is presenting the question working with that possibility that a Kohen who's Maratzeh those Korbanos, the problem of Tumas HaTahom is overlooked. Hutrolo means it's allowed. The question Rav Yosef is asking, what about Kohen HaMaratzeh B'Tomid Mai? Once again, we're a little repetitive here, but if you assume that the Kohen HaMaratzeh by the Korban Pesach Tumas HaTahom Hutrolo, what about the Kohen HaMaratzeh B'Tomid? And now, the two sides of the question, as you can see, we've highlighted them with Aleph Oy Dilma Beis, as we do often when you have two sides of a question presented, and the O Dilma, you can see, is squiggle underline showing you the transition point. So, how do we analyze this? Mi Amrinon, do we say, Ki Gemiri Tumas HaTahom B'Pesach? B'tomid lo gemiri. Gemiri is an expression referring to an oral tradition or halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. This idea that we overlook or that we supersede the tumah, in the case of tumah satom, that unknown tumah at the time of contact. Is that a halacha? Is that a law stated in the context of the Korban Pesach only, not in the context of a Korban Tomid, or Dilma, or possibly Yolif Tomid Mipesach? We derive the laws of Tomid from the laws of Korban Pesach. In order to answer this question, we'll introduce the answers with triangles, and we've noted on the side under our Mivneh heading, Nisyonus Lifshot She'elo Hanal. These are attempts to answer this question. So, Rabo, Omar Rabo, Kavachomer, he says you can resolve this through Kavachomer logic. Uma b'mokim shelo hutra loy tuma yedua hutra loy tumas atom. Mind you, in a topic like Nozir and Oisa Pesach, someone who's doing his Korban Pesach, where if they had encountered known tuma, they would be prohibited or prevented from doing their respective korbanos. And yet we have an allowance for tumas at home. Mokayim shehutrelo tuma yadua, the korban tomid, which is a public, fixed time, daily sacrifice, fixed time on a daily basis, where we know that tuma yadua is overlooked. Shehutrelo tuma yadua. In a given a situation where we have no kehanim that are tahorim to process it, so it will be done by kehanim that are tomei, and they are known to be tomei. So we see in the realm of the tomid, the laws of tuma are more easily suspended. So eino din shehutrulo tuma tumas atom. Certainly, the Gemara here at the top of Omid Beis tells us that certainly the rules of tumas atom should be superseded. The problem of tuma presented by tumas atom certainly should be overlooked. Amri. Now the Gemara raises a question on Rabba's method of conclusion. He says, "Umidai ninon kal v'chomer mehalacha." Is it acceptable to use or employ kal v'chomer logic when the basis of the kal v'chomer was halacha l'moshe misinai? In other words, the starting point for Rabba's logic was the din of tahoim by the Pesach and the Nozir. That point is something derived by strictly oral tradition and not by verses, not by references in psukim. And as such, it's classified as a very novel idea, something so unusual, if you will, that you cannot use it as the basis of concluding other topics through Kal v'chomer logic. And this idea is illustrated in the following source. Now, the source is quoted only to point out this point, Ein Don in Kal v'chomer Halacha, which is highlighted by at the end of this particular source. The rest of the information here is part of a discussion that's not within our context. But it has to do with different types of tumas mace that can cause a nozir to become, say, to have to start again, to lose the counting that he already achieved. So, without getting into the details of that particular topic, let's see the source. V'atanya, Omar Loi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer responds to Rabbi Akiva, who had tried to conclude that if a nozir had encountered a revius, a liquid quantity, a revius amount of blood from a corpse, that would ruin his nozir counting. And Rabbi Akiva tried to come to that conclusion by making a kal v'chomer from the law regarding an etzem kisora, a bone that's a very small piece of bone fragment from a corpse, the size of a barley grain. And Rabbi Eliezer said to Rabbi Akiva, you can't derive the laws of nozir with regard to the revius dam from the laws of the bone matter. Rabbi Eliezer says to him, Akiva, etzem kisoira equals halacha, that a nozir has to stop his nazirus counting and start again after observing a week of tumah of tahara. That is true by the case of the bone that's kisor, but that is halacha, that's an oral tradition. Revius dam kal v'chomer, and you were trying to derive the laws of the nozir regarding revius dam from the laws of the Etzem Kisora. The Ein Donin Kavachomer Mahalocha, you can't employ Kavachomer logic as you try to do using the Etzem Kisora as the basis, when the Etzem Kisora is merely Halocha Lamoshe Misinai. Therefore, we have to seek a new approach to our question. Elo Omar Rava, Yolif, Moy Adoy, Me Adoy, Mi Pesach. The laws of Tumas Atom, we said, are suspended, or the problem of the Tumas suspended with regard to the Korban Pesach. And there is a Gzeirah Shava between the topic of Korban Pesach and the topic of the Tomid. In both contexts, the Torah uses the word Moy Adoy. So just like in the realm of Pesach, Tumas Tom is suspended, so too with regard to the Tomid. Here, the Gemara raises an issue of calls an earlier question that, as Rashi points out, that even though this question is presented here, this was information that was already known by the Amoroyim that we had just seen. So here the Gemara asks, and on the side we have our Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature a double underline, and they will highlight Mekorois L'tumas HaTahom Hechok Siva B'Nozir V'Yose Pesach, where in the Torah is there reference to Tumas HaTahom, and umaha geder shel eino yodua. When we speak about tumas tahom as being a type of tuma that was not known, well, what do we mean it was not known? So that, just to keep things in perspective, the Gemara that we had just finished before this section had spoken about the tumas tahom as being an oral tradition, halacha Moshe Misinai. That is very true according to the maskona, the end of the discussion concerning what is the source. So, to keep things in perspective, the upcoming section of Gemara, and Rashi emphasizes this, this upcoming section was really an issue that was dealt with at an earlier time historically than the Gemara that just preceded this with Rabba and Rava. So here the Gemara asks, V'tumas HaTahoim Gufa Hechok Siva, where is Tumas HaTahom itself written or alluded to in the Torah? Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Kra, V'chiyomus Meis Olav. This is a pasuk in the context of a Nazir, and it says that if a Nazir encounters Tumas Meis, so he has to stop his Nazirus counting and restart it a week later after he becomes Tohor, purified from the Tumas Meis. And the pasuk is explained, B'mechuveres Olav, that when is it that the Nazir loses his counting because of Tumas Meis? When it is known, when it is clear to him. Apparently, the Gemara's darshaning, the Chiyomus Meis Olov, upon, when the dead dies upon him, meaning when it is clear to him. Ashkechon Nazir, that is a source with regard to the Nazir, that if it's clear Tuma, then it ruins his Nazirus. But if not in a case of Tumas Tuma, it's unknown. Oysa Pesach Menolon, where do we know that regarding someone who is about to do his Korban Pesach, that if he had encountered Tumas Tahom, his Pesach is acceptable? Omer of Yochanan, we have a number one indicating there's another opinion. You can see on the next line, the source for the Pesach. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Omar Kro Baderech Rechoika Lochem. That's the pasuk, and Rashi explains a little more that this word lochem is going on what you see prior to Derech Rechoka as well, where the pasuk made reference to Tomei Lenefesh, and the we've included this pasuk on the side of the Gemara Bamidbar. This pasuk from Bamidbar Perek Tes, pasuk Yud, which is the topic of Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach. The pasuk says, and you can see on the side, we've written Ish Ish Kiyeh Tomei Lenefesh Obederech Ruchoiko Lochem Oiludoroseichem V'osa Pesach Lashem. So in the pasuk you have the word Lochem, means something that is clear to you, and not only Derech Ruchoiko being outside of Yerushalayim, but also having been exposed to Tumas Mace. So the Gemara continues, Reb Shimon Lakish Omer, Kederech. The Pasuk parallels Tomei Lenefesh to the issue of a road. Ma Derech Begalui, just like a road is something that is is exposed. Av Tuma Nami Begalui. So to the Tuma that will prevent a person from doing his Korban Pesach is a Tuma that's exposed, as opposed to Tumas HaTahom, where there's a mace under the ground, deep under the ground, not exposed. Mesvei. The Gemara raises a question. You can see this question lasts a number of lines. Eizehu Tumas HaTahom. What is considered Tumas HaTahom? The Tuma of the depths. Kol Shelo Hikir Bo Echod V'Soif Ha'olam. Tuma that no one at the ends of the world knew about. Hikir Bo Echod V'Soif Ha'olam. If someone knew about it, even if he's at the ends of the earth. Ein ze tumas atom. That is not tumas atom. The Rebbe Lozar. So what we've done here is we've presented a Tanaic source that says that hikir bo echod the sofa olam, that's not considered tumas atom. Well, how is this to be understood with regard to the Amoroyim that we have seen till now? The Rebbe Lozar, di Omar mechuveres olav, according to Rebbe Lozar, ad di yodahu, until the person himself knows about it, it's considered tumas atahom. So that the source indicated that it's not tumas atahom if someone at the furthest reaches of the earth knows about it. According to Rebbe Lozar, that who's an Amora, well, that still would have been Tumas HaTahom until the person himself knows, the person who's doing his Korban Pesach himself knows about the Tuma. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lochem B'mechuveres Lochem, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that said that when is the Tuma a problem, when it's clear to you, Ad Diyadi Ba'Train, that it's considered to home until two people. The word lochem is plural, and the minimum plural is two people. So that if, as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, if hikir bo echa b'sofa olam, it would still be considered tumas to home. According to the source, it's no longer tumas to home. Rav Shimon ben Lakish damar kederech, that tumas, the tuma that affects the osa pesach is like the road, ad diyadi kule alma. That until the whole world would know about it, it still is considered Tumas HaTahom. So even if many people knew about the Tuma, it would still be Tumas HaTahom until the world, everyone knows about it. So the question then is, what is the basis of Tumas HaTahom? If you're going to say it's based on the Pasuk, then... And based on the Pasuk and the way the Amoroyim explain the Pasuk, we run into a problem with regard to this source. Elo Tumas HaTahom Hilchisa Gemiri La. The concept of Tumas HaTahom is an oral tradition. Ukra Asmachta Bi'Alma. And the Psukim that were quoted before are merely reference points, but they're not the actual source. They're Asmachta Bi'Alma is a term referring to something that's a non-official source, but it's a memory device or a reference point, a hint to it, but not an actual source. So that at this point, what the Gemara has been saying in the last several lines where we squiggle underline the names of the Amoroyim, that's not what they actually hold. It's what one would have thought to be the case according to the sources that they had presented. But in the final analysis, Tumas HaTahom is as the source itself presented, that if someone knows about the Tuma, then it's no longer considered Tumas HaTahom. Tumas HaTahom, therefore, would be something that is not known by anybody. And, of course, it's discovered only later on. But at the point of contact or encounter with the tuma, it was in a tahom state, it was in the depths, no one knew about it at that time. And we say the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim states that with regard to the Nozir and the Oisa Pesach, they can continue having their korban processed. Now, as far as at what point in time did they discover their encounter with this Tumas HaTahom, that is now the upcoming section of Gemara. So on the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, where we feature a house shape, and we indicate that this is Shnei Shlovim, two stages, Behavonas Divrei Mar Barav Ashi, regarding what did he actually say, Imat Sitz Meratzeh, al mi shenoda lo al tumas hatahom lifnei zrikas hadam. Do we say that he gets korban credit for his discovery of that tuma prior to the sprinkling of the blood of the korban? The sprinkling of the blood of korbanos in general represents the final stage in the processing of a korban. So now let us see the Gemara. Omar Mar Barav Ashi lo ishanu. That which we've said till now, that we overlook, that tzitz is meratzah, that tzitz helps us supersede the tumah in the case of tumas hatahom, this is true. Ela shenoida loy leachar zrika, that the owner knew or discovered that he had encountered, or that there had been a grave under the ground over where he walked. He discovered this information after the sprinkling of the blood. The Chizdarek Dam Shapirzdak, that when the Zrika took place, it was done properly. In other words, it was done with the assumption, with the feeling, with the understanding that there had been no encounter with Tuma. Avol Noida Lo Lifnei Zrika Lo Meratze. However, if the discovery of the grave is made prior to the sprinkling of the blood, even though the animal has been slaughtered and they received the blood in the receiving vessel, things have to stop here, and the tzitz, the golden headplate of the Kohen Gadol, which helps overcome, supersede tuma problems, it will not be effective over here, because prior to the Zrika, the problem was already discovered. The Gemara asks, is that really so, Meisvei? We have the following Tanaic source, Hamotzei Meis Mushkov L'Rochboi Shel Derech. A body is discovered to have been lying across the width of a road. And this term, Rochboi Shel Derech, means that a person who walked on that road could not have avoided walking over the body. And we should have said this earlier, but a body, a corpse, emits Tumas Meis through what we call Oihel, by walking over it even without actually touching the body, simply by overshadowing the spot under which the body is located. So if the body is lying across the width of the road, under the road, and then later it's discovered, L'truma Tomei, as far as the a Kohen who had encountered that had walked over the road, he cannot now eat, or he cannot now continue eating truma. Lo nozir v'oisa pesach torah, as far as going ahead and doing the korbanos of a nozir, or someone who, on the 14th of Nisan, someone who has to do his korban pesach, he is considered tohor. V'chol tomei v'tor, these terms, tomei v'tor lehabohu, they have relevance with regard to that which he will be doing. So what is the source telling us? That one who had encountered tumas hatahom, he can go ahead and process his korban pesach. Ela I itmar hochi itmar. If Mor Rav Ashi said anything, he must have said as follows. Omar Mor Rav Ashi, lo teimo, don't say that noda lo la'achar zrika hu demiratze avol noda lo lifnei zrika lo miratze. Don't make a distinction like we did before, that only if he discovers the tumas hatahom after the korban was already processed do we say it's acceptable, but if he discovered it before the zrika, before the sprinkling of blood, it would not be acceptable. Ela afilu noda lo lifnei zrika miratze. Even if he discovered that he had walked over a spot under which there was a body, and he discovered this information before the sprinkling of the blood, given that the sacrifice had already been slaughtered and they received the blood, and he now discovered that he had been at a spot where there had been a body, go ahead and sprinkle the blood. That's afilu noda lefnei zrika meratze. Now let's take a look at there's a Rashi. Dibur hamaschil she'ein loy mokom lavor. This is going on the next source that's quoted in the Gemara. But let us take a look at the Rashi. We described that the rochboy shelderech was a situation where the body was lying across the width of the road, so that you, if you walked on that road, you know you had been over the body. Rashi says shemachzik m'malei es kol roichev haderech afal gav de tumas vadaihi, even though this person now knows he is definitely tamei. Since when he, at the point in time that he walked over it, no one knew about it. No one knew about it being there. And so too our client that we're featuring in our Gemara, he discovered it only after his sacrifices were slaughtered. So they slaughtered it, and they have the blood ready to be sprinkled. The oral tradition says, go ahead and process the korban, and he gets credit for it. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Gufa. Gufa represents a quote of the source or the information that we had mentioned in passing before. Now, in a more complete fashion, we'll see the entire source that was referred to earlier. The source begins, and in fact, it continues till the Mishnah. There's no Gemara discussion on that, which we will see in this Tanaic source. Hamotze meis mushkov l'rochbei shel derech. We find a body is found to be lying across the width of a road. L'truma tomei, as we said before, a kohen will not be able to continue eating truma. L'nozir v'yisav pesach tor. But with regard to these korbanos, the nozir who has to process his korbanos, and the person who is on his way to do the korban pesach, he is tohor. And as we saw in the Rashi, what does that mean? That will mean, and based of course on the Gemara we just finished, if he has this is a person who discovers the presence of this mace after his korbanos were slaughtered, and they have the blood too ready to be sprinkled, we say, go ahead and sprinkle the blood, and he gets credit for it. He gets credit for the korbanos. Bamed v'mumurim, when do we say that the truma he's tamei, that he cannot eat the truma? She'ein loy mok. Before we go on, it goes without saying that a kohen who is entitled to eat truma must be tahor in order to eat the truma. So when do we say that he's considered tamei and unable to eat the truma? She'ein loy mokim lavor, that the there was no room for him to walk on the road that would not have been over the body. Avol yesh mokum lavor, if the road is wider than the length of the body, so there is a spot on the road that he could, may have walked on, which was not over the body, it was a wider type road. So af l'truma tohor, even with regard to his truma, he is considered tohor, because this is considered what we say is sofek tuma birshus harabim. It's an issue of doubt at this point concerning tuma in a public area, and we have a rule that says sofek tuma birshus harabim, the person is considered tohar. Bamed v'mumurim, when is it that we say that when the mace is mamale kol haderech, that he's mamale the roich haderech, when do we say that there is tuma and we say that he cannot eat his truma? Shemotzei shalem, where the body is found intact in one piece, so to speak, one solid, a complete body. Avo meshuba mufurok tor. If the body is broken and disassembled, then he is tor. Why? Shema bein haprokim ovar. Maybe the person, in this case the kohen, walking on that road, walked between the pieces of the body. Ubekever, if you find not just a body but an actual grave, afilu meshuba mufuruk tomei, even if the body found inside the grave is dismembered, the person walking over that spot is tameh, mipnei shakever mitzarfa, because the grave is considered one entity of tumas meis, of creating tumas oihel, even the empty parts of the grave. But it's a grave in which there is a body. Bamed v'murim b'mahalech b'raglov. The halacha of meshuba mefurok is tohor. That is when a person is walking on his own power on the road. Avolton o rachuv. If, however, the person, the kohen, for example, that wants to eat his truma is being carried, ton, or he's rachuv, or he's riding on an animal, tomei. He is considered tomei. Lefishe mehalich beraglov efshe shelo yigav lo yehal. Person is walking on his own, so it's possible that he walked right between the pieces or didn't come into contact with any of it. Avol. But someone who is carried, so or he's riding, so it's impossible that he didn't find himself over the mace or parts of the mace that were buried underneath. And this is because when one is being carried, so there's a swaggering type movement, a side to side movement, whereby he definitely will have overshadowed some part of the mace. The A, Z, E, Tumas Atom, and what is considered Tumas Atom? Kol Shelo Hikir Bo Echod B'Soif HaOlam. It's a situation of Tumah that no one anywhere could have known about it at the point that the person had walked over it. Avol Hikir Bo Echod B'Soif HaOlam, if it was known by somebody, Ein Ze Tumas Atom. That's no longer considered Tumas Atom, where we will have these leniencies. Motzoi tamun beteven beofar ubitzros hare ze tumas atom. If a body is found tamun, buried underneath straw or dirt or pebbles, that is considered tumas atom. We look at Rashi tamun beofar beteven ubitzros. Rashi at the lower part of the narrow line says tumas tuma mechusim mikolam. That's tuma that's covered from all people. He zu. This is tuma that is covered, is not seen, it's not visible to anybody. Shemo gal avonim o ofer o teven nofal alov alo hikiru bo b'nei odom me'olam. There could very well have been an avalanche that piled upon this person and no one knew about it. Avomayim, the source itself goes on, and we can read the Rashi just in anticipation of the source. Rashi says, Avomayim ve'afelu nikikas sloyim, if it's an issue of finding a body in water, or finding it in the darkness at night, or in rock outcroppings or rock clefts, cracks in rocks. Ein zu hatuma mechusa v'nelma. This is not the tuma that's considered covered and hidden. Someone who looks carefully, yochol liros, he could see these cases of a body in the water or in darkness or in rock clefts. The halacha l'moshe mi'sinai that we've been alluding to is stated only with regard to something that's mechusa minakol. It's covered, hidden from everybody. So we continue back in the source where it tells us what we just saw in the Rashi. The source goes on, b'mayim ba'afelu b'nekiki aslam, if you find a mace in the water or in the dark or in rock clefts, Ein ze tumas atahom. That is not considered tumas atahom, concerning whom the halacha moshe misina says he will be viewed as tahor. V'lo omru tumas atahom elo lemeis bilvad. And another qualification is that the concept of tumas atahom, the leniency concerning the unknown tuma, is only in the case of tumas meis, the tuma that emits from the dead, as opposed to other areas of Tumah. And we discussed this in previous Shiurim, what are the areas of Tumah that are not included in Tumas Tom. So we saw in our previous Shiur, we saw a discussion concerning Tumas at Tahom, Deziva, for example, where the laws of Tahom will not apply. The Mishnah. On the side, we have a topic heading, Sreifas Korbonos Shenifsal. We will be discussing the need to burn sacrifices that became possible, that became unfit. Be'etzim shel beis hamikdash or be'etzim pratim. The wood that is used for their burning, is it beis hamikdash wood or private wood? Hagemara ma'aleh stira bein mishnosenu u'mishna liel mem tes omed aleph u'metatza, raise a contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah that's found back on Daf Mem Tes, and the Gemara will resolve this at the top of Pei Beis Omen Aleph. So the Mishnah: Nitma Sholem O Rubo. If the Korban, talk about a Korban Pesach, became Tomei when it was fully intact or the majority of it, Surfen Oisei Lifnei Habira Me'atzei Hamarocha, then it is to be burnt. The Fnei Abira means in the Beis HaMikdash, using the wood that's dedicated for the Marocha, wood dedicated to the fireplace of the Mizbeach. Nitma Mi'uto, if only a minority of the Korban became Tomei, Vahan Nosar, or leftover Korban meat, Surfen Oisei B'chasr Sein, O Agogo Sein, Me'atzei Atzman, then it's burnt in their courtyards or on their rooftops from personally owned wood. Hatzaikonin. Tzaikonin are people that are stingy. Sorfen oso lifnei habira b'shvil lehanos me'atzei hamarcha. They take the meat to the Beis HaMikdash, burn it there because they want to use the public wood, the wood dedicated to the Marocha, as opposed to their own wood. As they are, they're tzorei ayin, they're stingy individuals. The Gemara. My taimo. Why do we say that they are to burn the meat that became tomei in the Beis HaMikdash, in a public setting? Rav Yosi, bar chaninot kedei levayshon, in order to embarrass them. Now, what's the reason for the embarrassment? Well, it's to embarrass them because they weren't careful keeping their korban, keeping their sacrificial meat away from Tumah, since they allowed it to become Tomei, so they were lax in their behavior. So therefore, we are interested in embarrassing them, obviously with the goal in mind of teaching them a lesson so as to be careful in the future. Nitma mi'uto v'chule, it went on in the Mishnah to say that if a minority of the sacrifice became tamei, so they burn it in their own yards at home. Of course, when we're talking about korbanos, we're talking about within the confines of Yerushalayim, and they use their own wood. When we see the term their courtyards, sofas of chatzos sein, so it can in fact refer to Yerushalayim, and we'll see a little bit more about this issue as we go on in the Gemara. Viraminu, we raise a question, a contradiction. Now this question will take us to the top line of Pei Beis Omed Aleph, following which the Gemara will present a few resolutions. So the source says, and this is a Mishnah from Daf Mem Tes, earlier in this Masechta. V'chein mi shiyotza Yerushalayim, a person who left Yerushalayim, v'nizkar shiyesh biyado basar kodesh, and he remembered that he had sacrificial meat with him. Im ovar tzofim, sorfoi b'mekomo. If he passed a place called tzofim, Rashi explains this as a point, the last point from which one can still see Yerushalayim. Beyond this point, you can't see Yerushalayim anymore. So if he has passed tzofim, so then, sarfoi b'mekomo, he burns the sacrificial meat that has become pusel. After all, it's, as Rashi says, psu yotze, he left Yerushalayim, which is the final boundary for sacrificial meat. Now he's gone beyond that point, so it's unfit. So what does he do? He burns it b'mekomo if he passed the point called soifim, the imlav. If he didn't pass that point, that geographical point, so then we continue at the top of Pei Beis Omed Aleph. Choser v'sorfoi lifnei habira me'atzei hamarocha. He goes back to burn it from the wood of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's the point here? Even if you're dealing with a miut, a small amount, a minority of the sacrifice, we see that you, even that you burn be'atzei amarocha. Our Mishnah had said that if it's mi'uto, so he burns that using atzei atzmon, his own wood. Here you have a mi'ut of the sacrifice, and he is expected to use atzei hamarocha. Omar Rav Chama Baruch Hu, he is listed here as number one, the first of a couple attempts to resolve this problem. So Rav Chama Baruch Hu says, Lo kashya, there is no contradiction. Kan b'achsanoi, kan b'bal habayis. Achsanoi is a guest or a visitor. In other words, he's not a local individual. So he doesn't have his own wood. So he will burn the meat of the meat using atzei marocha. Kan b'bal habayis, our Mishnah that says he uses his own wood for the meat of the meat, that's referring to a homeowner that has he's located there. So he has his own wood supply. He's not an outsider, a visitor to Yerushalayim. Rav Papa Omar ha v'ha b'achsanoi. Rav Papa says that both our Mishnah that said that if you have a mute of sacrificial meat that became pasul, you burn it from your own wood, and the Mishnah from Memtes that says you use atzei marocha are both talking about hava b'achsanoi. They're both talking about people that are visiting, that are coming from the outside. Kan shehichzik baderech, kan shelo hichzik baderech. Hichzik baderech means he's started his trip. He left the place that he was staying. He started his trip. Someone like that. So since he started his trip, we don't want to bother him. We don't want to trouble him to look around for wood. So we say, go ahead and use the known wood supply of the Beis Hamikdash, the Atzei Marocha. Shelo yechzik baderech. He's still where he was being hosted. He hasn't started his trip. So we will tell him, find your own wood. Rav Zvid Omar. Now Rashi makes a point that Rav Zvid is coming to, he holds like Rav Chama, he holds like the number one explanation. He's coming to explain Rav Chama, and you'll see that he in fact argues with Rav Papa. So Rav Zvid Omar, li'olam kide Omar meikora, kan b'achsanoi, kan b'bal habayis. As far as resolving the two sources are concerned, we're going to say like Rav Chama said, that if it's an achsanoi, so he uses the atzei marocha. He doesn't have his own wood. As opposed to a homeowner, he has his own wood. The af al gav deloy hichzik baderech achsanoi kiva delesle asau kitzaykonim. In the case of the achsanoi, Rav Zvid tells you that Rav Chama will hold that even if the achsanoi is not hichzik baderech, since he doesn't have his own wood, he has then the din of the tzaikonoim that use the Beis Hamikdash wood. The snan ha-tzaikonim surfenos ulefnei abira b'shul leonos me'atzei amarocha. The stingy ones go and use the Beis Hamikdash wood so that they can benefit from the public wood and not use their own. So there's precedent for people that are not machzik baderech for using Beis HaMikdash wood, so too with regard to the Achsanoi, even if he was not Machzik Baderech, he uses the Beis HaMikdash wood. And you'll notice with our markings, what we try to do with the dot underlining is to show the point of Machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. Rav Papa mentioned that if the Achsanoi is Lo Hichzik Baderech, so he uses his own wood, non-Beis HaMikdash wood. According to Rav Zvid, we dash dot underlined lo hichzik baderech, the achsanoi will use the Beis Hamikdash wood. We continue in the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanon bo l'sorfoi bechatzro sein umeyatze amarocha ein shomin lo. Lifnei habira umeatzei atzmon ein shomin lohem. You'll notice we have two examples here. We have them burning their wood in their chatzeros, in their own courtyards, but using Beis HaMikdash would, so we don't allow that. And a second situation of someone in the Beis HaMikdash using his own wood, we don't allow that. So Bishlom HaMe'atzei HaMarocha B'chatzar Sein, I understand the case of using Beis HaMikdash wood in your own courtyard, we don't allow that. Ein Shom Lehem, Dilma Paishon Minayu, because the fear arises that they might have Paishon means leftover wood. After they finish burning the korban, the sacrificial meat that had become pasul, they'll have wood left over, Beis HaMikdash wood left over, v'asabu lidei takola, and they'll come to stumbling, come to error, mean they'll end up using the leftover wood for their own personal needs, and that's not allowed. After all, this is wood that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Elo lefnei habiro me'atzi atzman my time alo, but to go into the Beis HaMikdash using your own personal wood, why not? What's wrong with that? So to answer this, we have a couple of approaches. Aleph, Rav Yosef Omar, Shelo Levayesh Esmi She'enlo. We don't want to embarrass someone who is there, also in the Beis HaMikdash, is using the public wood. So that could be embarrassing. Where here, you have your own wood, that's great. What about the next guy that doesn't have? So for him to be in your presence while you're using your own wood and he has to use public wood, that could be embarrassing. Rava Omar Mipnei HaChashad. Rava says, the reason we don't want you to use your own wood in the Beis HaMikdash is Chashad. Now, what's the Chashad? So we take a look at the Rashi. Rashi we're looking at is in the upper part of the narrow lines. Mishum Chashad Shela'achar Sreifasan. After you burnt the korbanos that you needed to burn, Machzirin Moiser Eitzin L'soch Beison. Well, he'll bring the wood back home. Now, in truth, he's using his own wood, so there's nothing wrong with his bringing his own wood back home. However, the people who see this guy leaving the Beis HaMikdash with wood, they don't know it's his own wood. He'll cause himself to be suspected as stealing Beis HaMikdash wood and using it for his own purposes. So, as to preserve your own, we'll say, self-respect and your own dignity, Rava says, don't bring in your own wood to the Beis HaMikdash. It's an interesting difference between Rav Yosef and Rava, and before the Gemara gets into practical differences, Rav Yosef's emphasis is on the next guy, so as he shouldn't be embarrassed, and Rava's emphasis is on the person himself, that he should not fall into ill repute. My Binayu, what's the point of difference, or the practical difference that exists between Rav Yosef and Rava, Iko Binayu, the following case will be a point of difference where Rav Yosef and Rava will not agree. What's the case? The Aisi Kani V'Charyusa, where his personal wood that will serve as fuel are reeds or charyusa, are palm branches, the lo chazi macho. This is a kind of wood, a kind of fuel that is not fit for the temple, for the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mizbeach fireplace in the first place. So, as far as Chashad is concerned, that the wood that's left over that you bring home, people will think it's Beis HaMikdash wood. They're not going to think it's Beis HaMikdash wood. The Koni and Charyus are not fit for Beis HaMikdash wood. On the other hand, corner of Yosef, you are using your own fuel. That could still embarrass the next guy that doesn't have the means and he has to use the public funds. Tanan Hossam. We quote a source that has practically no connection with the Gemara that we've been dealing with till now, except for the fact that we mentioned earlier that we insist on the burning of the pasul korban, the korbanos became tamei in the Beis HaMikdash, kedei levayishon. So we have a source that deals with the kohanim that came to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and there was a cycle of kohen families that would serve. Each family served 2 weeks out of the year, and every week that the particular family of kohanim that were part of this cycle served, that week was broken down into daily service groups that are known as the Beis Av. So the source says, Tanan Hossam, Rosh HaMamid, the one who was in charge of the let's say the Kohanim checking Hoyamamid es hatmeim al shar hamizrach. He would find the Kohanim of that particular daily service group that were tomei, and he would check them out every morning, doing an investigation, finding out, are you tomei, are you tomei, are you tomei? And those Kohanim that he discovered were tomei, that were defiled, and of course a Kohen who's tomei cannot work in the Beis HaMikdash. They were then directed to stand at the eastern gate of the Beis HaMikdash. Rashi says, Rosh HaMamod HaMemuna, the appointed one al-Kach, that is appointed for this purpose, Mamid es HaTmeim Shel Beis Av, he would have them stand, those kind of that were found to be Tomei of that day's service group, B'chol Boker, every morning, any claim that it was found of any given morning to be Tomei, B'shar HaMizrachi, Knisis Kol Odom Lahar HaBayis, that eastern gate was the main entrance for people to enter the Temple Mount. So the Shar HaMizrach is the eastern entranceway to the Har HaBayis. Now the Gemara asks, "My time? Why were the Tameim instructed to stand over there?" Amar of Yosef Kedei Levayshon. Here you see the connection to the sugya before that we mentioned. Why this is quoted over here, and in order to see the connection more easily, so take a look at the. You can use the arrow that you see to the left hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that this is found back on Pei Aleph Amid Beis. Rava Omar Mipnei Hachashad. Now, what is the mitnei hachashad, the issue of doubt or of suspicion over here? So Rashi says, mishum chashad, these people, these kohanim that are found to be tomei, are positioned at that shar mizrach so everyone should see them. Shelo yach shedum, the people, they shouldn't be fall under suspicion. Shemipnei melach don em nechtolim milovo la'avoid avoida. That because they have their own jobs, their own shops to go to make money, then that's why they don't want to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Umamidam sham, these kohanim are stood up over there, they're placed, positioned over there, kideshiru osim b'nei adam, so that people should see them, v'yoidim, and that will inform them, shemachmas tumohem chadelim. The reason you don't see them working in the Beis HaMikdash is not that they're trying to avoid because they're trying to go back to their shops to make money, but rather because they're tomei. The idi de ayri li'el b'hach plukta d'mnei chashad noka lo loha. And since we mentioned this issue before of doubt, of suspicion, so this is cited over here. We had mentioned before the issue of Kedei Levayshon. Here Rashi emphasizes more because we mentioned earlier the issue of Chashad. The Gemara now asks, "My Binayu, what's the difference between Rav Yosef's explanation and Rava's explanation?" Iko Binayu Mefanki Inami de Kagodil Shi Shura. Two cases will be a point of difference. Mefanki, these are people that are well known that they don't work. They're lazy or whatever, and they are not. If you know a Kohen that's classified as Mefunak or Mefanki, he is not going to be fall under the chashad. In other words, his absence isn't because he's running off. He's not going to fall under suspicion. He's running off to his shop or to his work. And so, according to the chashad approach, this kind of kohen that's found to be tomei does not need to be positioned at the shar hamizrach, because according to the chashad approach, namely Rava's approach, it was only to enable them to avoid falling under suspicion, but he's not going to fall under suspicion in the first place. The as far as Levayshon, to embarrass them that they weren't careful in avoiding Tuma, knowing that the next day they have to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and they allowed themselves to become Tomei, so we still are interested in their being embarrassed over their lack of being scrupulous in this area. Another nafkamin, another difference will be a case of Godel Shishur. These are rope makers. These rope makers, it was a type of job that was easy and its pay was very little. People like that are not going to fall under suspicion that they're not showing up in the base. Maybe it's because they're out running back to their jobs to make money, because they're not going to make so much money in the first place. So as far as the need to mimamid a Godel Shishur that became Tomei in the Shaar Mizrach, according to the opinion of Rava, there's no need to have a Godel Shishur standing there. However, according to Rav Yosef, there still is the consideration that he was not careful and allowed himself to become Tomei. Therefore, we want to Levaishoi. We want to expose him to this embarrassment. At this point, we want to just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.